Good to see everybody. Everybody's happy and looking good. You know, people are hard to satisfy, though. You know, we've waited all summer for this cold weather, and now nobody wants it. But anyway, brethren, that's the way we are, and we have to work on those things, you see. We have to work on those things, and I'm going to point out a few things here that we need to work on. I'm sure we do. I need to work on them. And I say we, I include old Farrell. You know, but we need to work on them, too. All of us need to work on them. You see, the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit was put in there for a reason, because Israel, ancient Israel, down through history, had always had it pointed out to them that when they obeyed God and did what He was supposed to do, He always performed for them and gave them what they needed to help them out. And oftentimes had to bail them out of what they had got themselves into because they disobeyed and they had forgotten God. See, they were doing the works of the flesh, what they wanted to do. But we're that way too, and the church is like that to a certain extent. Of course, we make up the church. You see, a church is not just one group. There's groups all over. It's a large group of people, comparative, not like it used to be, but it's still a large people. But we're all called for one reason. We're all here for one reason, and that's to prepare to go into the kingdom. That's why I titled this, because I've got some things I'd like to point out here and ask some questions about, and each one can consider it concerning what he wants or she wants to do, well, what it is. You see, when God called, or when Jesus Christ came through, of course, God did the call and caused him to understand. And when Jesus Christ was teaching those men that he was going to send out, he asked them to do what he did, if they could do what he did. See? He asked us also, see, that wasn't just for those people who saw him and talked to him and was trained by him. Now, they had advantage of us, you see. They had advantage because they were with the Savior under his hand, see. But then he had these messages recorded for us to act upon, but he's just as powerful through these messages as he was then if we could get the understanding that those men received through his teaching. You see, they don't have advantage. Nobody has the advantage of anybody because God calls everybody, gives them the same message. It depends on what they do with it. You remember those people, those who gave 5 talents and they made 5 more talents. They knew what to do with it. And there was two people who just had 2 talents and they did the same thing. They doubled what they had, but they qualified for the same thing. Just had the different abilities. And there was one who was given 1 talent. He didn't do anything because he felt he was unworthy. He just hid it and let it go. And he had it taken away from him. You see, we all have the same choice. We all have the same opportunity to get into the kingdom if we use what we have to do with correctly. And we've got all instructions right here. I'd like to point out some of those instructions. You see, we have to work at it. We have to work at overcoming. We have to know what a problem is. A problem is human nature. And we have to work at it. Not just go to Sabbath services and go home and say it was a fine sermon. You see, we have to work at what we learn, just like those apostles did and like the 70 he sent out. He sent them out with a message, something to do. And when we were baptized, you see, he called us and we were baptized. He gave the same Holy Spirit that he gave them with. Set them out with. Now, Paul talked to Timothy. You see, we have to have a lot of patience because sometimes personalities clash and all this type of thing, you know. And of course, we all use that as an excuse sometimes just to not get acquainted with people. And we really need to be getting acquainted with each other. That's what makes a family. See? But Paul told Timothy, because he's having to struggle with several things in the church. And Paul wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 14. You see, Timothy had problems with people wanting to run the church. They were going into the church and they were telling things that they just imagined. They didn't know. They were just talking, but they were causing people to hear it and listen to it. Hindering the church, you see. In verse 14, he said to Timothy, he said, remind those people. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. If it doesn't amount to anything, just ignore it. To the ruin of the hearers. You see, they were ruining somebody, causing them to get off course, causing them to have to overcome things or try to overcome things that didn't even exist, taking them out of what they had originally been taught. See? Be diligent, he said. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he continued to say in verse 16, he said, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they'll increase to more ungodliness. To more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. They'll pick it up. One will repeat it. First thing you know, it's gone through the church. Somebody's gotten offended by what was said. Somebody's left the church. You see, that's what Paul was afraid of. He saw that, see? Who have strayed? He said, now, and their message will spread like a cancer. And Hymenaeus and Philetus, all were this sort. Both of them were this sort. There was two people that's just going through the congregations, spreading gossip, spreading things that wasn't true. They were telling the resurrection had already happened. See? And Paul was afraid somebody believed it, and probably did. Some believed that. Who have strayed concerning the truth, they went away from the truth, they didn't have the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, now there were some, they're solid, there's the rock of Gibraltar. But there were some who were ready to listen to anything that came along. You see, we're people, just like they were people. They were just like us. You see, but you've got to know where to cut it off. Because tales will be told on everybody just about when you set your mind and will to obey God the Father, things will be told on you. I won't go into detail, but you'll have everything told on you. Things you never heard of or never dreamed of doing. You'll have to suffer that sometimes, you see. But you see, our Savior did that. That happened to him. We'll touch on that just a little bit later on. Now then, Matthew chapter 10. I wonder if I could get a bottle of water from somebody. I'm going to get thirsty before I get through with the sermon. Thank you a bunch. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 5, Jesus was teaching, and he said this. Now these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. He gave them a mission to go on. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, now, do not go to the way and the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into a city of the Samaritans. He didn't want them to go to the Gentiles first. He sent them to the Israelites. He wanted them to go to Israelites. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go on this journey, on this trip, you preach. And you say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what if he gave one of us that message to go out here and start teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand? What would we do? Would we trust God? Would we say, oh, I can't do that? See? But we're doing it as a group. But what if he did? What if he selected you individually to do that? What would you do with it? And he said, you go out there and you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, and cast out demons, and freely you've received, freely give. It's there for you. Go do it. Christ said that. Gave him the command to do that. And provide neither gold nor silver nor copper nor any money belts. Don't take anything with you. Just take what you've got on your body and go. Nor don't take a bag. Don't take a suitcase with you, said, on your journey. Nor two tunics. You don't take a coat and an overcoat both. You just take one. It's sufficient for you. Nor sandals nor staff. For a worker is worthy of his food. See, wherever you go into this city, depend on God to give it for you. Depend on God's people to be there, wherever you go, because he'll make a way for you. See? Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who it is who's worthy and stay there until you go out or until you have accomplished what you set out to do. When you've covered all houses and everything there and you've done all you can do, then you leave. But he said, you don't have to worry about taking anything. it'll be provided for you. I can think of some more scriptures, but we won't go there for lack of time. Anyway, God wants us to act on what He tells us to do. He wanted those people to act on what He told them to do. And they did and got tremendous results. Now, when we see ourselves getting bogged down, and when we see ourselves kind of getting back into the old works of the flesh, these fleshly ideas comes up, and we know where we've got to go to work on it to get rid of that. We just stop exercising that. We just stop doing those things, you know, and we start thinking on the spiritual aspect of it. Now then, in Psalms chapter 37, you see, now this entails a lot of patience. A lot of patience in dealing with people, trying to overcome herself, trying to keep herself in subjection, and to deal with other people. This has been placed there by Satan himself sometimes, such as television, for instance, to occupy our minds, to get us off of the spiritual aspect that God has called us for. In Psalms chapter 37, the psalmist wrote this. He said in verse 7 of chapter 37, he said, "Now rest in the Lord." Depend on Him. Don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on the people around you. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. See, we may have trials and problems while we're waiting. We may have a lot of stumbling blocks come up in the way. We may have even persecution sometimes, you see. "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way." Though some are wealthy, some are not wealthy, but you don't fret about that. See, "Because of the man who brings wickedness and schemes to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath." Get away from that. "Do not fret. It only causes harm." See, when you fret about everything, make excuses about everything, critical of everything, you see, that only brings harm. And then in verse 9 he said, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Now, what will we call for? You see, we have to steer clear of the things that's going on around us. We have to steer clear of those people who have Cadillacs, new Cadillacs, 5-bedroom homes. You see, all of us can't have those things, but we can't let that bother us. Because the least among us, see, can enter the kingdom of God, can be entered into the kingdom of God, just like those of greater finances in the world. See? He said in verse 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for your place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth." You see, brethren, that's a promise to you and me. That's a promise to us who overcome. That's a promise to those who work on this human nature to overcome this human nature, replacing that with the fruits of God's Spirit. See? In Matthew chapter 20, and verse 18. Beginning in verse 18, Jesus was teaching. Now, there's a lady, a wonderful lady, who was familiar with the Old Testament, familiar with all the scriptures, and she recognized the fact that Jesus Christ was one was prophesied to be the king as she read through the scriptures. He fit all that she understood, all she knew about the Old Testament. And she knew he was to be the Savior. In verse 17. "Now Jesus going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside on the road, and he talked to them, personally, privately. And he said, 'Now look, we're going up to Jerusalem.'" And the Son of Man, which is himself he's talking about, the Son of Man will be betrayed, and the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. When I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. And deliver him to the Gentiles, and mock, and to scourge, and to crucify, and the third day he'll rise again. That was the thing that was his proof of his messiahship. See? And then there was this lady I was telling about. Now, this lady had two sons, and she had reared those two sons from childhood. Taught them nothing but God's law. Well, I guess she taught them other things, but she specifically taught them God's law and who the king was and how to represent the king, how to recognize the king. See? And then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him and said to Jesus, kneeling down and asking something of him, he said to her, "What do you wish? What do you want? What can I do for you?" He didn't do that scolding her. He really wanted to know, what can I do for you? Because she recognized him as the Savior of mankind, the coming King. And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom." See, she knew he was the King that was promised. She knew that. She had read about it. She was familiar with that. And she had prepared those two sons to enter into that kingdom. All of their life, she had prepared them to be in that kingdom. That's what we're being prepared for. Preparatory conditions, what we're in now. That's what they were in, see. But she didn't understand the whole story. But Jesus answered and he said to her, you don't know what you ask. You don't understand how it works, see. Are you able, he looked at those two sons that she had taught, two strong individuals, I suppose, and he looked at them and he said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink? I'm about to drink. Going to be crucified. Going to be scourged. Going to be beaten. Going to be crucified. Are you able to do that? And be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said, "Yeah, we are." You see, that's what they'd known all their life. That's what they had been prepared for all their life, to enter into that kingdom. But she wanted him to set one on the right hand and one on the left, but that wasn't Jesus' call. She didn't understand that. Then Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and to sit on my left hand is not mine to give." That's not my call. See? It's not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. You see, he's the one that takes notes. He's the one that gets the reports all the time, the angelic report. He's the one that takes all that down. He knows their names. He knows every hair on her head. You see, we're being judged now. Judgment has begun at the house of God. We're being judged now. He knows who's capable of doing what and which. See? Now. But we've got to go on until we fulfill all we're called to do. See? And then when the 10 heard it, of course, they laughed about it. And we won't go into that. This goes into something else. But you see, that lady knew what she was talking about. She was doing her. She had fulfilled her responsibility to ruin those children. And they knew what they were prepared for. And Jesus did also. And he told them, said, "You will indeed do what I'm doing." And they did. Both of them gave their lives for it and were killed for what they believed. You see, they were prepared. They were prepared for whatever. Now we'll go into the home of Jesus a little bit. We'll go into his half-brother. We'll listen to what his half-brother said. He's taught up by the same woman that Jesus was brought up by. In verse 17 of James chapter 1, James recorded this in verse 17. He said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Comes from God. "And comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." He won't change. He's like the rock of Gibraltar. We could use that term today. He won't move. He won't change. See? "Of his own will, he brought us forth by his word of truth." That's how he got every one of us. That's why we're gathered here today. Because he gave us the word of truth. And we accepted the call. And we were baptized into God's church. We were baptized into the family of God. You see, we made the agreement to keep Jesus Christ ahead of family, money, everything we have must become second to Jesus Christ and God the Father. Every one of us made that commitment, you see. That he brought us forth with the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Of his creation. You see, mankind is made in his image. Mind is unlimited. I mean, it can do anything. Especially, but understand spiritual things. And we receive that through baptism and receiving God's Holy Spirit. And that makes us apt to do whatever God wants us to do. Now then, Paul boldly stated something. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul said that introduced himself to begin with. He said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. See, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he had been was all wrong. But he knew he had been called to something else to give himself for, because he had a kingdom promised to him to be in. Not just the kingdom of Rome, but the kingdom of God. See, he knew that. Which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, you see. He knew about that. He had read about it. He was familiar with it. Now, Jesus had told him and gave him the principles, the spiritual principles, and he had put them together. See? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born to the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That was the point that proved that he was the Messiah. See? Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. You see, I believe that every nation on this planet has heard about and knows a little bit about the kingdom of God. Now, see, among whom you also were called by Jesus Christ, just like we were, all of us were called by Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, he said in verse 8, first of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world and made known. Throughout the whole world. And I think this church has been known throughout the whole world. See? Does that make us any different than they were? Or them any different than we are? You see, it's the same Spirit that we received at baptism that those people received also. Same God. Same Savior who died for us. Now you see, Brother John had something to say about that too. You see, now, these trials and problems, we're all destined to have trials and problems because it's absolutely necessary that we do, because God is not going to put people into his kingdom that has not been tried and tested to see if they're going to be loyal and faithful to his kingdom, because that's the way he is. He's God, you see. And all of these things are unavoidable and absolutely necessary and purposeful to qualify in the kingdom of God. To get into the kingdom of God. In John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 18. John recorded this. Recorded our Savior as saying this to you, and to me, and all who read this. Now, if the world hates you, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Then you're not alone. You're not the first. See? And if you were of the world would love its own. They would love you. They'd welcome you in. They'd give you the better jobs. They'd give you whatever you want, because they'd love you. But they don't care much about us, do they? Don't care much about us. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you because it came from me. Because I did. You're attached to me. saved. You have God's Holy Spirit just like I do. Therefore, you're going to have to suffer the things I suffer. You see? Remember the words that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. You see, now, if the master, who is over all, if the master suffers all these persecutions, and he's scourged and spit upon and all these things and crucified and died, are we better than him? That's what he's asking. Are we better than him? You see, we're in a preparatory condition now. We're preparing to go into the kingdom and meet him in his glorious body. We'll be in a glorious body, the same one he's in. We'll see him like he is, you see. Now, if they persecuted me, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to also persecute you. If they kept my word, then they'll keep your word. You see, now they didn't keep his word. And they won't keep your word. You see, because you're separated from the world. Because you follow Jesus Christ. Because he set the example for you, and he commands us to follow his example. And the apostles was to follow his examples, and they did. What happened to them? They all gave themselves for it. Gave their lives for it. Now then, Paul said something in Philippians chapter 1. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 1. And when I get to feeling low, let's make this comment. When I get to feeling low, and I get to feeling like that I need a little kick in the seat of the pants, I go to the writings of Paul. He was a man who was dedicated to give his life. Jesus Christ was too. I'm not taking anything away from him. But Paul expresses himself better than anybody I know of how he felt about salvation, how he felt about his calling, and how he felt about his responsibility. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 12, Paul wrote this. You see, Paul rejoiced. He saw things that most people don't see. He rejoiced in the fact that even his enemies was helping him preach the gospel. Now you say, well, how can his enemy help him preach the gospel? Because they were making fun of him, repeating what he had said, and he was thinking that somewhere along the line, somebody's going to hear this, and the words of the truth will fall on their ears, and they too will understand it through my enemies. Now check it out. See what he's talking about. You see, these people were saying, well, this Paul, he's preaching the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? Him preaching the kingdom of God? Him in chains and preaching the kingdom of God? You see, but the word would fall on somebody. Maybe that God had opened the minds of, that they'd understand. See? Now let's go ahead with that. In verse 12 of Philippians 1, he said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. I'm bound to Christ and no other way. See? And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They see I've done it. They know it can be done. Therefore, they challenge. They take up the challenge. They go into it too and speak out more boldly. And verse 15, he says, now, some indeed preach Christ and even from envy and strife and some from goodwill. You see, some was envious. Some were mocking him. Some were telling what he was saying, what he was preaching. See? And they were preaching the gospel and didn't know it. Thought they were making fun of him, trying to bring more persecution on him, you see. Now, the former preached Christ from selfish ambitions, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my chains. See, they were just making mockery of him, being in chains and preaching about a kingdom of God he's going to be in. But the latter, the one who was preaching from goodwill, the latter of the love, the latter was out of love, knowledge, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. They know why I'm doing here. They know what I'm preaching. They know what I'm about. And verse 18, he said, now what then? We've got two different types of people. We've got one making fun of us. And we've got one here that's really sincere. Let's see what we've got, he said. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, And in this I rejoice, and yes, I will rejoice. Either way, Christ was being preached through his enemies. They were repeating him and causing the truth of God to fall on the ears of some. Even making fun, see? For I know, in verse 19, he said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, now also Christ will be magnified in my body with my life or my death. Whether I die or whether I live, Christ is going to be magnified in what I'm doing, what I've said, what I've preached, even through my enemies. See? And verse 21. This is so inspiring. In verse 21 he said, for to me to live is Christ. I'm putting on Christ. I'm building the mind of Christ. I'm developing the mind of Christ. If I live. And if I die, it's gain. Because I enter into the kingdom, I will fulfill all I'm supposed to do. And God will take me. And I'll come out of that grave a spirit being. That'd be gain. Wouldn't that be gain? Isn't that what we're all after? Isn't that what we do? Absolutely. That's why we're here. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Peter wrote this to the church. Peter was concerned about the church. You see, Christ told him to take care of the church. He said, after I'm gone, and when Satan has tried and tested you, you come back and take care of my flock. Take care of the flock. And he was concerned with all of his being. He was concerned about that. In verse 6, he said, in this you know greatly. He's talking about the things they had been persecuted with, the things they're having to go through earlier than that. And he said, in this you know you greatly rejoice, though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That your genuineness, there's the reason for it, that your genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. You haven't seen him, but you love him. You have God's Holy Spirit. You have the spirit of all the others. You're part of God's family, you see. You haven't seen him, but you love him because of that Holy Spirit, because of the calling, because of that spiritual bond that's there with God's Holy Spirit. Though now you do see him, yet believing, you rejoice with your inexpressible and full glory. This word, you can't explain it because words won't explain it. Wasn't that the way we felt when we were called? Isn't that the way we feel now, that there isn't any way to explain God's Holy Spirit, the goodness we feel when we hear God's Holy Spirit talked about and we feel God's Holy Spirit at work, when we see God's Holy Spirit at work? Isn't that there isn't any way to explain it. It's far beyond the imagination, see? Receiving to the end of your faith the salvation of your souls, see? Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you and me and all whom God called. Eventually everybody on this planet Earth will have that opportunity. See? Now, brethren, we should be looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. He commanded us to pray, thy kingdom come. See, we should be praying that every day. You see, we shouldn't be out here aware of what's going on in the world here that is a satanic system and bear all of the evidence of Satan himself. And we shouldn't let that be first and foremost in our minds, but we should let God's kingdom be first and foremost in our minds. And if we don't, brethren, we're neglecting our calling. See? Now, Paul said, you see, each trial is a test. Each time we have a trial, it's a test, and it helps us to build faith, and that faith helps us to build the power of endurance, you see. And I often say that endurance to the end is the greatest trial we'll ever have. It'll wear on you. It'll wear on your mind. It'll wear on your nervous system. It'll wear on your body. That endurance. But you've got to have God's Holy Spirit, and you have God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can tolerate it. We can come through it. Whatever it is, we can depend on Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, and verse 9, Paul wrote this. Excuse me. Colossians 1 and verse 9, he says, For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, when you have knowledge, you see there's a vast difference in knowledge and wisdom. You see, knowledge is what you learn and what you understand, but wisdom is how to control that knowledge that God conveys to you. See? That's where we are. That's what we need to be praying for. That's why James said, if you lack wisdom, pray for it. Know how to direct the knowledge that God reveals to you. See? In verse 10, he said, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being faithful in every good work and increasing in all the knowledge of God. Get all the knowledge you can. See? Because that's how you grow. That's how you've been strengthened. See? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long sufferings with joy. You do it with joy. You rejoice in the fact that God deemed you worthy to go through the trials and tribulations so you might qualify to be in His kingdom. See? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light. See? That's what He wants. He wants us to be inheritors. He wants us to be His progeny. He wants us to be His son, born through a resurrection into His family. See, that's the only reason we're here. That's the purpose of life. That's why we're here today. That's why He had a Sabbath day here, so we could all congregate together and learn more about Him and put it into our lives and exercise that. Now, James made a bold statement here that we need to listen to. In James 1, in verse 4, he said this. If I can find James. James 1 and verse 4, he said, But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and having everything you need. See? He didn't say have everything you want. He didn't say have everything you want. You see, when He taught His apostles how to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You see, He wants us to have enough to work with, to work on, keep us busy, keep our minds focused on Him. See, lacking nothing, James said. Now then, let's go to Jeremiah. You see, here's the secret to it. Here's what it's all about. Look in Jeremiah's life a little bit. In Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23 of chapter 9, Jeremiah. Excuse me. Jeremiah was a man who had trial after trial after trial. And never altered his idea or his ambition to serve God. He wished he hadn't. He said at times there, I just wish I could go back into the forest, into the woods, and just build a little cabin and just stay there, not get out. He said, I've even tried to prophesy. I've even tried to stop preaching. And I just couldn't do it. It just burned in me, and I couldn't do it. And then he said here in verse 23, he says, now thus says the Lord. Here's what the Lord says. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. See? Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this thing here, that he understands and knows me. See? That's how you get through the problems. You see, that's what's lacking. I think the most lacking thing in the church is prayer, having that contact with God. I think it's the most lacking thing in the church. And continuing in verse 24, he says, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness. Oh, what's that? That's the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be following that example. See? That I exercise loving kindness and judgment, right judgments, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, the Lord says, I delight. That's what I want you to do. I delight in that. That's how I recognize you when you do those things. If you don't do those things, you know your name doesn't come up too often to me. I can't recognize you. But when in prayer, every day, sometimes two or three times a day or more, we need to be doing that so our names can be recognized and God the Father will say, here's so-and-so here again. He's serving me. He's trying, you see. He's working on it. She's working on it. I don't have to use he, it could be she, see, because he's just as interested in the women, and the women plays a tremendous part in Jesus Christ and the message to the church. Now, brethren, let's turn one more time to David's writing, to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. In verse 67. Look what David said in verse 67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went astray before I was afflicted. But now I keep your word, since I've been afflicted. I learned from it. I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes, he said. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I'll keep your precepts with my whole heart. I won't let it affect me. I won't let it bother me. I won't get off track anymore, he says. In verse 70, he said, your heart is as their hearts are as insensible geese. But I delight in your law, he's saying, talking to God. See? It is good for me that I've been afflicted. I understand. I've learned lessons from it. See, I've learned how to depend on God. See, that I may learn your statutes, for the law of your mouth is better to me than 10,000 coins, gold and silver. Couldn't buy it. No price on it. See, can't put a price on it. Now, brethren, we'll close with Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul wrote, he said, but I rejoice. You see? He said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished. Though you surely did care, but you didn't have the opportunity to show your concern or your care for me. But his love flourished because of that. He now knows they have the opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need. I didn't need anything you could give me. I depended on God for it. I didn't need it. You wanted to help, but you didn't have the opportunity. But I made it anyway because I trusted in God. For I have learned to whatever state I am to be content. And I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I've experienced it all. It's been required of me. See? I can do all things. Notice that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. You see, brethren, You see, brother, we have the same spirit that Paul had. We have the same spirit. We may not have the amount of spirit he had, but it's required of us to do all that we can possibly do with what we've got to do with. Picture and have the picture of the kingdom of God in our mind, because you have the power. I have the power. All of us have the same power, the same Holy Spirit, to do whatever is required of us, because God won't require us to do more than we can handle. You see? If we live doing this thing, then it's Christ being built in us. See, we haven't deviated. It's Christ being built in us. But if we die, then it's gain. Just like Paul said, it's gain, because we will have gained the kingdom of God, which we were all called for. We will have accomplished what we call, what we've been called for. May God be with you, brethren, now and forever.